Neil Fashan was just 20 years old, a sophomore in college, when the nightmare happened. He was diagnosed with an incurable aggressive form of brain cancer, diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, which usually kills people within a year. So when Neil learned about an experimental treatment a doctor was offering in Texas, he decided to go for it. But the day he got his first infusion, the FDA ordered the doctor to stop offering the treatment. Ultimately, Neil and his family decided to sue the FDA for the right to keep trying the treatment, whatever the risks. Bob Tedeschi wrote about Neil's fight with the FDA for STAT, the new National Health and Medicine publication. He's with us as part of our partnership with STAT on health and science issues. Bob, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
And first, tell us more about the kind of cancer that Neil has. It's known as DIPG. Why is it so hard to treat and cure?
Well, it's a tumor that is part – it basically attacks the brainstem. And so you can't – you can offer some radiation treatment to it, but it's not something that you can radiate at length because you're damaging a part of the brain that controls vital organs, nor can you operate on it. And you can do some biopsies on it, but those are risky as well. So it's very, very limited number of options for people who have this.
So what was this treatment that he wanted to get in Texas?
Dr. Brzezinski is a proponent of and what he would say, a pioneer of something called antineoplastins, which are naturally occurring compounds in the human body, but which he believes are deficient in people with cancer. And so it is a it's given via an IV infusion, and patients can stay on it indefinitely.
And what was the FDA's problem with it? Why did they shut it down after just one day?
Well, the FDA wouldn't comment on why. It's our understanding that that some of the methods that Dr. Brzezinski had used to handle the compounds for his drug had changed, and the FDA wanted to look into that. But again, we're not certain.
So Neil and his family sued the FDA. What happened?
They did. And they managed to get a temporary restraining order against the FDA. And when they set up a hearing for a fuller discussion of the matter, the FDA relented and about a week ago decided that they were going to let the treatment continue.
And how is Neil doing at this point?
I spoke to him yesterday. His spirits are very good. He seems a little bit tired, but he said that he is very upbeat, very positive, very optimistic about his chances.
How common is it for the FDA to step into a situation like this and shut down somebody's clinical trial?
We can't get decent information on that, but it's our sense that it is it's uncommon. You know, usually the process for approving an FDA trial is very extensive. So by the time it gets a green light, typically that's going to be a strong indication that it's going to go forward, unless during the trial some very adverse events happen.
And this also gets to the broader issue of whether the FDA is, as some people claim, moving too slowly to approve new treatments and new drugs. And as a result, people have to try to do what Neil did.
Right. And you can look at it both ways, right? You've got the FDA on one side looking at a blizzard of new treatments coming down the pike. And it only has so many resources to handle these new treatments. Yet from a patient's perspective, you know, especially for those facing grim odds, you can't move quickly enough.
Well, and I also imagine that somebody facing those grim odds would say, why don't I have the right to decide that I want to take that extra risk? Because without it, I'm dying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, the FDA, to its credit, will offer something called compassionate use, where a patient with at the end of life can petition for access to a particular drug. But the hitch there is that even if the FDA greenlights that, the drug manufacturer has got to say okay. And they are not always willing to do that, because if something goes wrong, the drug approval process for that particular treatment could get derailed badly.
How often do these experimental treatments or clinical trials end up actually saving people's lives? How often do they end up doing the miracle that people are hoping that they will?
We're in an interesting era right now where clinical trials for cancer in particular are starting to become the best hope for some patients. where we know traditionally that chemotherapy has, you know, it's very proven for certain indications, but we also know the track record in a lot of cases is that it just won't work permanently. Whereas in clinical trials now with something called precision medicine, researchers are looking at genetic mutations of specific tumors, and they've found in some cases very dramatic success with clinical trial treatments.
And we'll link people to your story from STAT at our website, hereandnow.org, about Neil. Bob Tedeschi, senior writer at STAT, the National Health and Medicine publication, thanks so much for joining us.
Jeremy, thanks so much for having me.